Did you know that your child's difficulties with learning or attention could actually be an auditory processing problem? Auditory processing has a profound impact on learning, but it can mask as other kinds of difficulties like attention problems or poor comprehension, trouble reading or weak language or social skills. This is LD Expert Live. Can you hear me now? Wait, what? You're cutting in and out. Recognize this conversation? Of course you do. We've all experienced a bad cell phone connection, and it's incredibly irritating. Can you imagine what it would feel like to be listening through a bad cell phone connection all day, every day? Think about how lost and anxious you would feel. Thankfully, a callback on a cell phone usually solves the problem, but for children and adults with auditory processing problems, this may be just the way life is. I'm Jill Stoll, founder of Stoll Learning Centers and author of At Wit's End, A Parent's Guide to Ending the Struggle, Tears, and Turmoil of Learning Disabilities. There are actually two chapters in my book that are specifically devoted to auditory processing. If you would like to get a free copy, you can get that by going to parentsatwitsend.com. Today, we're talking about auditory processing and the monumental role that it plays in learning and learning challenges. You are going to get to experience what it feels like to have an auditory processing problem and learn how it could be at the root of your child's learning or attention challenge. We're going to talk about what can be done to change it, and stick around to the end because I'm going to give you 10 remote school tips for your child with auditory challenges. I promised all of you an experience, so get ready. I'm going to give you a little listening assignment. I'm going to play you an excerpt from a book by Dr. Daniel Amen. Now, he's an expert in ADHD and mental health, so this is going to be really interesting information for you. All right, here we go.
Did you know every time you have a thought, your brain releases chemicals? That's how our brain works. You have a thought, your brain releases chemicals, and an electrical transmission goes across your brain, and you become aware of what you're thinking. Thoughts are real, and they have a real impact on how you feel and how you behave. Every time you have a bad thought, an unkind thought, a sad thought, or a cranky thought, your brain releases negative chemicals that make your body feel bad.
I was giving a sound therapy seminar for educators and learning center owners one time, and I played that 90-second clip. At the end, one woman who was a very successful practitioner broke down in tears and said, "That's my life." That's what it may be like to have an auditory processing problem. You know, I played that clip one time for a staff meeting, and the staff didn't know that it was a simulation, but they did know of Dr. Daniel Amen. And so they were all ready to take notes. They knew this was going to be really important information. And it was fascinating to see what happened. There was one young woman in the front, and she was, she had her paper out, and she was trying so hard to take notes through the entire thing. And she just, you know, you could see she was listening so hard. And the further we went, the more and more tension that I could see in her body. And then the person next to her started out taking notes and then pretty quickly just, you know, gave up and just quit paying attention, just started looking around, looked really bored. Another one of our staff members started out taking notes and got really frustrated. And she just slammed her pencil down on the table and was really upset, especially because we had that overachiever in the front who was still taking notes. And then we had one guy on staff. Well, very quickly, he figured out he was not going to be able to get this. So he just kicked back in his chair. He started making jokes with the people around him. And I thought, oh my gosh, that is just like a classroom. That's what happens to kids when they have auditory challenges. Some kids try so hard and they end up really, really anxious. Some start and then they just give up. Some get really angry at themselves or their teacher, and they just feel like they've been tricked when they didn't hear about due dates or tests. Others get very sleepy and start yawning, which actually is the brain's way of dealing with auditory overload. So if you see that your child is, you know, listening on their remote schooling or something, and they're yawning and yawning and yawning, they're auditorily overloaded, probably. And then some students just learn that, you know what, I might as well not even try. I'm not going to get this. And so they just, you know, in certain classes or when the teacher starts to give oral instruction, they just check out. Auditory processing is not your hearing, but it's how the brain perceives or thinks about the information that comes in through your ears. So let's take a look at our learning skills continuum. If you think about learning like a continuum or a ladder, academics and social skills are up at the top. The rungs on the ladder are all of the supporting learning or processing skills. Everyone just assumes that these skills are in place when kids go to school, but for about 30% of the population, at least some of those underlying skills are weak or inefficient, which can stress the attention system and cause learning to be harder than it should be. Auditory processing fits on that second from the bottom rung, that blue area, which is processing skills. When you look at how the continuum builds, you can see that weak auditory processing can get in the way of fully developing and utilizing executive function skills, and it can certainly impact comprehension, reading, academic, and social skills that are on the rungs above that. In our experience, most students who are underachieving or struggling socially or in school have challenges with auditory or listening skills. The challenges may look more like anxiety or behavior issues. You know, I've heard from a number of parents that their child actually is good at school. The teacher will say that the child tried really hard and has good behavior, but then they get home and they completely fall apart and you just have this massive meltdown on your hands day after day because it's such a strain to work that hard to listen and maintain in school. Some kids or adults with auditory problems talk incessantly because as long as they can control the conversation, they don't have to listen. Kids with auditory problems are often accused of not paying attention. I had a student once who told me that when the teacher spoke, it was literally like the teacher in Charlie Brown cartoons saying, wah, wah, wah. So of course he couldn't pay attention. He was lost and frustrated, and he never felt like he knew what he was supposed to do. I have a feeling that many of you can relate to what I'm saying with your kids. We've been talking about what it's like to have an auditory processing problem. Now I want to talk about how it can be improved, and that has to start with the science. Good listening and auditory processing skills depend upon being able to take in and process this very broad range of sound frequencies. When the brain is not processing the full range of frequencies, the listener may get incomplete or inaccurate information to think with. The interesting thing about sound frequencies is that the different frequencies impact us in different ways. So low frequencies are what you might think of as body sounds. They tend to be grounding and regulating. They get us moving, kind of like all that bass in dance music. Mid-range frequencies are the learning sounds. This is where most of the speech sounds are. And high frequencies are energizing to the brain. We need to be processing high frequency sounds in order to feel alert and focused and motivated. So if we're not processing that full range of sound frequencies, it's going to impact our behavior. So if you're not processing low frequencies well, you may not feel grounded. You may have poor regulation. People might look at you and think, wow, they're really flighty, or you might feel kind of insecure. If you're not processing mid-range frequencies well, then learning, communication, comprehension, reading, emotional regulation could all be affected. And then high frequencies, remember, these are the frequencies that energize the cortex for thinking. Well, if we aren't processing those high frequencies in sound, we may end up with a really monotone voice, low energy, sort of that brain fog, slow thinking. We may feel kind of down or depressed, unmotivated, not picking up on social cues in intonation or language. Another interesting thing about the science of auditory processing is that the ear has neurological connections to nearly every organ and function in the body, as well as the attention, emotional, language, and learning centers in the brain. So weak auditory processing not only impacts learning and reading, but it can affect your clarity of speech, your energy, your attention, your mood, your sense of well-being. I remember teaching an auditory training seminar, and a therapist who was attending said, "Wow, I think my son needs this." Her son was in his first year of college, and his mom said that he was really smart and very talented in music and sports, but all through high school, he had been moody and unmotivated, and he never reached his potential or developed his talents. He didn't have friends, and he just quit everything. And in fact, while his mom was at the seminar, he dropped out of college. So we got him started on a listening program, an auditory training program. 3 weeks into it, he shared with me that he had always been up and down mood-wise, but mostly down. And he said, "But now I'm mostly up." He was really excited because someone had called him, someone he met at college, had called and asked if he wanted to get together with some other friends. And he said, "And I went. They acted like they liked me, like I was a leader." I ran into his mom a couple of years later at another seminar, and she said that listening had had such a profound impact on him that he said, "I'm a listener for life." When auditory processing problems are recognized at school for what they are, then accommodations like an FM system or sitting in the front of the class or even having an instructional aide are sometimes provided for students. But very rarely are parents told that an auditory processing challenge can be corrected. One of our clinicians from the Learning Center was completing her master's degree in school psychology, and as a part of that, she had to do an internship. And at her very first IEP meeting that she had ever attended as an intern, the school psychologist shared with the parent that the child's learning challenges were the result of an auditory processing problem. So, of course, the parent says, well, can that be fixed? And the psychologist says, no, there's nothing that can be done, but we'll give your child accommodations. So our clinician was about to jump out of her skin because the auditory system absolutely can be stimulated and retrained. We do that work every single day. In the 1950s, a physician named Dr. Alfred Tomatis explored how to use music and sound to train the auditory system. And at first, he was working with opera singers, but then he began to apply his findings to other issues like dyslexia. And since that time, a number of therapeutic listening programs have been developed to train the auditory processing. And of course, technology has made such huge advances since the 1950s that when you put Dr. Tomatis's work together with all of the additional information, you know, that we have now with brain research and technology, it's pretty amazing what can be done. And so in our centers, we use listening programs or auditory training programs that have been developed by integrated listening systems called ILS and advanced brain technologies. And if you are one of our families listening, you probably, you know, your child is probably doing the listening program or another home listening program from advanced brain technologies as a part of their work with us. This kind of music-based auditory training is one of the single most powerful tools we use. And we use a lot of amazing tools, but this is a tool I would not want to work without. The science of sound and the neurology of the auditory system, all those connections between the body, the brain, and the ear, make it possible to use specially recorded, acoustically modified music to improve auditory processing, as well as sensory processing, executive function, organization, short-term memory, learning skills, focus, mood, and even sleep. In our work with students, we use home listening or auditory training programs with nearly every student to support whatever level of the continuum they are working on. To wrap up today, I want to give you 10 quick tips for supporting your students with auditory processing challenges, especially in relation to remote schooling. So, number one, brighten your child's screen so they can see the teacher's face more easily. Number two, use over-the-ear headphones, because that will help your student get clearer sound and it will help block outside noise. Number three, make sure your child's face is well lit if they're on a Zoom session so that the teacher can see if your child looks confused. And teachers, make sure your face is well lit because your eyes and facial expression really support your student's comprehension. Parents, see if teachers can also provide you with written information in case the student misses something. Teachers, use visuals whenever you can to support. You might try using a doc cam, a document camera. It's a great way to show students exactly what you're doing while you're talking about it. Remember that listening is, this is number six, remember that listening is fatiguing for your student. So give short breaks to get up and move. If your child is yawning continuously, they're overloaded and they need a quick little break. Number seven, have water on the desk. Water is energizing to the brain. Number eight, in general, this is just general, whether it's remote or not. If you have something important to tell your child with auditory issues, don't say it on the fly. You need to get their attention and look them in the eye. Number 9, slow down your speech by taking slightly longer pauses between phrases. So you're still speaking fluently and you're not speaking word by word. That's not easy to listen to and understand. But if you just take a little bit longer pause between phrases, you know, think about whenever you get to a punctuation mark, you're just going to pause just 1 second longer. It helps give the student who's struggling to listen a little bit more time to get the information. And then number 10, don't assume they have it. Find ways to have your child repeat it or verbally rehearse the information. All right. Well, I hope that was helpful. Stoa Learning Centers are open for remote sessions and screenings, so you can access our services wherever you are. We are also open for on-site students in all of our centers with all the COVID precautions. If you would like to speak with someone about your child, give us a call or visit our website at stoelcenter.com.